South Carolina's got everything. Natural beauty, trendy cities, but you might miss your next big adventure in a smaller town. We've got you covered on the Palmetto Porch, Discover South Carolina's official podcast. I'm Devin Whitmire. Come with me as I venture off the beaten path and learn about these towns from the locals who know them best. Check out the Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information, head on over to scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes, too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Emma Ray Gervasi. Emma Ray is only 14 years old. She reportedly went to her driveway to quote-unquote look for something. This is not a situation of an adult that can make those decisions. Adults can voluntarily be missing a rough upbringing, apparently. And I only bring this up because I think it all adds to why a young girl maybe grows up to a situation where they're really not young in terms of what they've suffered in their life, what they've seen in their life, the different forces that have been around them. True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thanks for being here tonight. For those of you who have not ever been on this channel, I so appreciate you being here. For those who are always on the channel, thank you for coming back. For my mods, I always forget to thank you. And I just can't really express enough how much I appreciate you being on here. And so thank you. This is a fact-based channel. For those of you who haven't been here, we don't have drama. I don't talk about other creators. We talk about facts that are involved in cases, missing cases, and other high-profile cases. I apologize for the delay tonight. I've been working nonstop because of the terrorist activity that took place. God rest the souls of the 14 who were lost. Yes, 15, but that counts the terrorists. So God rest their souls. It's horrible what happened in New Orleans. And I'm just grateful that what happened in Las Vegas didn't result in so much more damage. It reminded me of the same type of situation that Timothy McVeigh tried to do at the federal building in Oklahoma City, where he drove a box truck and put anhydrous fertilizer type bomb, and it took out that building. And I know a lot of people say, well, what this guy did couldn't have done that, the Las Vegas cyber truck bomber. But I disagree with that. He just didn't do it right. First of all, he had no familiarity with the Cybertruck. It's so new, and it quite frankly is so well built that the sides didn't even blow out, causing the explosive force to go up. And any of you who have seen that video, it is unbelievable. At first, I had heard there was a fire, only it wasn't a fire. It was a outright explosion. And I posted that to show what a typical Tesla type fire, how that could happen with the batteries, specifically if they're around salt water due to the ionization and in a confined area, and what that looks like compared to what an explosion looks like. Of course, now we know that there were mortars and firework type explosives, and it just did not meet the requirements really for doing the type of damage that I believe was meant to occur. I mean, we know that the individual shot themselves in the head. I try not really to talk about and post photos of the individuals. I do to some degree, but I don't like to name them over and over again. I mean, the bottom line is, for sure, the New Orleans individual is a terrorist. And what little we can to put his name out there, it's great to talk about his actions, but when we over and over talk about his name, a lot of people want to become infamous. They want to live in infamy. They love people talking about them. So if we use their name less and their face less, maybe others who are considering such crimes might consider that and not commit those crimes. So I hate to digress because I totally digressed here, but I felt it important. Since we've lost 14 people, we have others in the hospital fighting for their lives and who could be at various, ailments for the rest of their lives because of this maniac in New Orleans. So I just wanted to say a quick prayer. Certainly hope that, their families can heal at this time. Here it was New Year's Day. But let's get on to Emma Rae Gervasi. Her father is supposed to be joining us, but I've been in communication with him throughout the late afternoon and early evening here. And he is following somebody. He's out there beating the pavement trying to find Emma Rae. A little bit of background. Emma Rae is only 14 years old. For those of you who don't have children or your children are long out of the nest, it's eighth grade. So young. Junior high. I mean, typically the things that happen in eighth grade that you're worried about or concerned about are maybe, first kiss, a date, who's going to invite you to the dance. You're worrying about, are you going to start in basketball? You know, all these things that kids should be worried about now, but not Emma Rae Gervasi. She's gone. The circumstances surrounding her being missing are she reportedly went to her driveway to quote unquote look for something. That was the initial report. And it was thought, of course, she went to meet with somebody. And I think for me, this is what really grabbed me. And I'll tell you why. Kimberly Moreau, who went missing clear back in 1986, young girl, 17 years old, had her whole life ahead of her. And she was beautiful. I've done a podcast on her with her entire family joining to talk about her. They pretty much know what happened. She met with a girlfriend and two older men who were pretty nefarious. One admitted he had had sex with her that night. And unfortunately, in that case, due to, quite frankly, pathetic law enforcement response. And this is the main reason why I really wanted to use the platform to advocate for Emma Rae and for her being found. Because I think so often when these young girls, she's 14, when they decide to leave, we don't know whether she decided to leave or whether she was pulled into a truck or whether she initially decided to leave, doesn't want to be gone now. This is not a situation of an adult that can make those decisions. Adults can voluntarily be missing. We all saw that very recently in the Kobayashi case, where she wanted to be gone. But that's not the situation when you have a 14-year-old. Now, I've come to learn from a lot of information that Emma Rae, and I was hoping actually her father would be here to talk more about this, because I think it's important when we think of what could have happened to her. But we do know that Emma Rae was troubled in some respects. She had a rough upbringing, apparently. She had situations happen in and around her by individuals that weren't part of the family, but that were brought into the home that were terrible, apparently. And I only bring this up because I think it all adds to why a young girl maybe grows up to a situation where they're really not young in terms of what they've suffered in their life, what they've seen in their life, the different forces that have been around them in their lives. And it causes them to grow up and really miss their childhood. But what really bothers me, just like in the case of Kim Rowe, and I shouldn't say just like, because law enforcement is at least seemingly making effort. But Kim Rowe, nobody made any effort to find her. They just blew it off. Oh, she ran away. And it reminds me of so many cases. So many of our missing cases are seen as runaways. When you are not of age and you leave the home, again, that person is extremely vulnerable. And they're in a situation where other adults can take advantage of them. Emma Ray Gavassi is beautiful. She definitely has the figure of a woman. She's about 5'4". She only weighs about 130 pounds. She's 130, 140 pounds. She's a beautiful young lady. And for a 14-year-old to be out on the streets, not at home, not going to school, not with any protectors around her, so dangerous. And that's why it's so important that law enforcement take a serious look at this case and expend resources to find her, and really all are missing, even that are minors particularly, because they could be in situations where they are not voluntarily missing. We know from her father, Frank, who again, hopefully Mr. Gavassi will be joining us, but apparently there was some activity 2 days ago where dog handlers and the people searching tracked her to a motel. I think this is such great news. So many missing people are never found. It's a very small percentage, but in a situation like this that's high risk, she's 14, she's off on her own, and possibly around very nefarious people. For those of you who have been doing any searches regarding her accounts, Facebook, I mean, she certainly has interaction from individuals that could cause her harm. Her father is diligently looking for her. That's what he's doing instead of being here with us today. Really wanted to get the message out on his behalf, though, because it's going to take all of you proliferating the message, proliferating her picture and her story, exactly where she went missing from. She went missing on December 9th. So we're looking at 3 weeks now. Soon, it's around the corner. It'll be a month. And that's a long time for a 14-year-old to be gone. In addition, I wanted to say precisely the name of the town that she went missing from is Patchogue, New York. Please forgive me if I have mispronounced that. But Patchogue, New York, Long Island. I just, every time I see one of these girls at this young age go missing, it's just time is so sensitive. And who is going to bring her home? Likely not law enforcement. It's going to be the public. The The FBI learned so long ago through America's Most Wanted posters and signs that it's the public eye that is a force multiplier for finding our missing. And they can't know somebody is missing unless they see someone is missing. So it's really important for people to understand she's gone, for them to know her face. So on Twitter, I'll continue, X, continue to show her face. I'll continue to say her name. Again, I really wanted to do this show to talk about her, Imeray Gervasi, because she matters. And she matters a lot. And whether she, quote unquote, might not want to come home, we don't really know that. Her father doesn't believe that. And his efforts have really been great. Again, he is offering a $15,000 reward for her safe return. That pretty much says a lot to me, because it shows he's truly concerned and he's willing to put money, a great deal of money, to try to get her back. Also, I thought it was interesting just the fact that when I was reaching out to him, he was so busy looking for her and stressing that, listen, I'm following somebody. You know, when you're out there looking, it is such a needle in the haystack. Obviously, anyone who lives in Long Island, anyone who lives in the New York area really needs to keep their head on the swivel, as well as New Jersey and any other bordering states. We don't know where she is or how far she could have gone. But it's really important to keep an eye out for her, because you all, the public, that's who's going to bring her home. Let me make sure I touched on everything. There's been reporting that she has affiliated in the past with gang members. I don't know which gang. I haven't read that. I have not seen that. Again, I was hoping her father could be on to answer some of these questions. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because it's super important. It's super important to understand the people who could be holding her against her will, the people who could be influencing her to stay away, the people she could be consorting with. You know, gangs, I worked them for 6 years on the streets with the gang unit, with the locals. And I can tell you, these gangs get a hold of you, and it's very hard to break out of. Many gangs, every gang I've ever investigated, every gang member I've ever interviewed, typically are highly involved in the drug scene. That is how they support themselves. That is how territories are created. And also, obviously, very dangerous, because to protect their territories, to protect their income, to protect their vehicles, all their possessions, their drugs, they carry guns. So it can be very dangerous. And if indeed she is consorting with gang members, that's another thing that individuals, as you proliferate this message, that either have children that used to be in gangs, are in gangs. These are the type of messages that really need to get out to the community, so that maybe she can be found quickly and be brought back home to her father, who is really concerned about her. I think it is so great that my friend, and I call her my friend due to our conversations we've had, Nicole Schmidt and Jim Petito, and really the Petitos and the Schmidts, they work so well together. They might be divorced, but they co-parented Gabby. They worked in tandem. They were a beautiful example of how family comes together when somebody is missing. And they have put their voice behind Mr. Gervasi and behind Imeray, because they know how hard it is to not know where a child is. So I just hope that we can follow the footsteps of the Petitos and the Schmidts, because I don't know anyone who is a better example of really taking their voice and doing so good for the missing community. I just really don't know a better voice. And so I hope all of you will be a voice, use your platforms. If anyone else has Mr. Gervasi or is specifically talking about this case, that you go on their platform to support the message, because you never know who all will be reached again, what information might be gleaned from that particular podcast that's new to you, a new place to look. As I said, I had really hoped to have Mr. Gervasi on here, but as of just about right before the show started, 7:45 or so, he let me know that he's still looking for her and was caught up in a particular lead following somebody. Those were his exact words. So unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be on here tonight. I don't want to belabor the point, other than let's not have Emma Ray be a Kimberly Moreau. Let's use our voice, our platforms, to try to help find her, get the word out, and post her pictures. Again, I have all of that on Twitter X. For those of you new to the channel, I don't have bells and whistles, and that's for a reason. I think the message, it's whenever I watch a creator, I go on, and when they're constantly going back and forth to chat and asking for money and posting pictures and saying, wait a minute, why do this? It's so distracting to the message, in my opinion. So this channel, we're down and dirty. We're about facts. And right now, we don't know where Emma Ray is. But again, she was seen 2 days ago, or not seen, but it was believed that 2 days ago she was in a motel, hotel, and I believe that was in Pechaguay, New York. And again, apologies if I butchered that name. Again, I have her as 5'5" and about 130 pounds. She left, by the way, with no shoes. To me, this gives credence to the fact that she did go out to the driveway area to meet somebody, to get something, and, you know, never returned. So it reminds me a little bit, too, of the case down in Texas that we followed so long, Caleb Harris, who ultimately, that was just a sad situation, and I'm still in close contact with Caleb's father and keeping track of new leads. But right now there are new leads. We're going to do a special episode on Caleb probably next week, because everybody wonders how in the world Caleb ended up in a sanitation, a sewage treatment plant. How did that happen? So in any event, I hope to have his father on, and maybe if I'm lucky, the chief of police for Corpus Christi. I was lucky enough to be able to have a long conversation with him, and I'm hoping to have him on as well. But in the meantime, I want to take a quick look at chat just to see if anybody has come on to provide any more clues that maybe I don't know of. I mean, everybody is just, I think, in chat giving a perusal over their concern. They want to do what they can to help find Emma Ray. And that's what we need to do for her. So until next time, I hope justice is served at 5 o'clock on Monday. I'll be going over the Luigi Mangione case. Where are we? What's happening? We're going to go through the evidence. We're going to go through the charges. He's been charged in 3 different jurisdictions. And we're also going to go through, what does that mean? What is next? What's next on the docket for him? We're going to talk a lot about the terrorism charge. And I really look forward to going over that case. I know people have a lot of mixed views, especially since we look at what I consider to be a true terrorism case, which is what happened in New Orleans. He acted on behalf of ISIS, his ISIS ideology. He used explosives. He terrorized that city. That city was, at least for many blocks, I think it was 8 blocks of Bourbon Street, was closed down. The city grinded to a halt for a long period of time. 14 people died. Over 30 were injured. It stopped a game, a huge game, from happening, the quarterfinals of college football. Notre Dame and Georgia came to a grinding halt and had to be postponed until the next day. People still are concerned, even though it was said, it has been finally said now, he acted alone, meaning ISIS was behind him. That's the ideology that propelled him. But they are saying no one else was involved in the intricacies of committing the crime. I know. Early on, they said other people were involved. Then they said there were 3 men and a woman involved. Then they said again that other people were involved. But now they are saying people aren't involved. That's a case for another time to discuss. I'm waiting for the cyber truck case to be fully unraveled. I know they have said that the New Orleans case and the cyber truck Las Vegas explosion are not connected. All I can say is, wow, lots of coincidences, same general time of the event, different locations, but individuals, one that was active military, one that was had been in the military, both assigned to Fort Bragg, both used Turo to rent their vehicles. There were a lot of similarities. It makes me wonder if they weren't recruited maybe by the same person in terms of ideology. But again, the government has not said what the reasons were for the cyber, the Tesla blow up explosion that took place in front of a Trump hotel, which, of course, Trump and Musk are well tied together. And so to me, of course, there was a huge message toward them, right? Destroy the car, attempt possibly to destroy or at least cause major damage to a Trump hotel. Obviously, that has a big nexus. But was there any connection with ISIS or Al-Qaeda? We don't know yet. We're waiting to hear. All right, I digressed again, but I know everybody is concerned about those cases. Hoping that Emma Ray is found very soon. And I will definitely post on Twitter X what Frank had to say, if maybe he was successful and that's why he didn't end up coming on. But ultimately, keep your eyes out, especially if you live in and around that area, for Emma Ray. Till next time, may justice be served. Thank you.
Breaking news and the best news. Emma Ray has been found. Her father's perseverance has completely paid off. He has found his daughter aboard a boat, if you can believe it. He had to break in the door. She has been found. She is now safe. And we're just praising God right now that this is a great story to report after we just did the feature on her yesterday. For everyone who posted, for everyone who helped find her, thank you all. And thank you to the missing community. We got some good news.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.